It is our, I don't remember when the last time Kim and Steve were here. It's probably been a couple years. How many of you guys have actually sat under Kim before and heard Kim teach? How many of you haven't? Maybe it's a better question. Okay, a few of you. That's good, though. I probably tell the story every time, or this part of Kim and Steve, if you don't know, came with Shannon and I kind of as we came to Weaverville, to Mount Chapel, and brought their heart and their heart for worship, and then really Kim's heart for a friendship with God is really how I put it. And I remember years ago we worked together at a group home, and I can remember in the middle of the day, Kim was actually doing food at the group home, and so she'd do shopping and get things ready and do all stuff. Yeah, way back before we were famous. and we would just, I would go over and hang out, and just, I was pretty new to kind of charismatic church and Holy Spirit, and that's the whole idea. And I just remember Kim just talking about Holy Spirit and her connection with God, like I'd never heard anybody talk about it before. And it's what I was looking for. It's what I was hungry for. This connection with God that wasn't religious, but it was friendship. It was everything that I had hoped it would be. And she was talking about it. And I was like, man, that's what I want. And so she would tell these stories. And so anyway, it's just, she just carried that she carried it for us for a while for Mount Chapel. And those of you that came with her know, she just oozes the love of God and the friendship of the Holy Spirit. And so we are just super honored and privileged to hear from Kim this morning. So will you guys just welcome Kim?
Wow. Thank you. It feels like we're at home, doesn't it? We got here last night, and we were walking through Tops, and we're like, oh, remember? This is where they keep their special drinks that we don't sell anywhere in Eureka for tuna. It's just basic soda, water, juice, you know. But you guys have all these fun drinks and great desserts. And we all separated and we're wandering around Tops, and I was like, I feel so peaceful. It just feels so peaceful here in Weaverville. So, and we got to go see the Dairy Berries last night and have some apple crisp that was amazing. Really the best apple crisp I've ever had. So it's so fun being with you guys again. I'm going to ask my third years to come on up. I feel like we are in a Holy Spirit bubble bath this morning. So I want to just keep pressing in. I just want to keep pressing into that. So we're going to prophesy over you. And I'm not exactly sure where we're going to go today, but I know the Lord has a plan to touch us. I feel the Father's love so heavy, and I feel like He wants to fill up His sons and His daughters today. He wants us to leave healed. It's funny because Steve went after the healing because I told my interns, I was like, God wants to heal people, and so we're going to go after that. And so I'm sure there's already been some healings, but I just feel like the Lord wants to touch our emotions. He wants to touch our thoughts. He wants our thoughts to line up with His thoughts. So can we just go after Holy Spirit together today? It may not be the norm, but let's just jump. I think Fenton started this off wonderfully, so you can just go after it.
So I heard collarbone injuries, and I actually heard maybe back injuries from a skiing incident. So if anyone has any sort of you're over there. If you have that, can you stand up right now? If you have any sort of issues with your collarbone at all from any sort of accident or anything like that, if you could stand up. Okay. And then the second word that I had was sinusitis. So if you've been dealing with sinusitis or reoccurring sinusitis. Could you also stand up? And also, if you know someone who's also been dealing with these two issues, you could stand up for them too. Yeah, and then everyone who's gathered around them, could you lay hands on them? And we're just going to take a moment and pray over these issues and go after that. So, yeah, Papa, I just thank you that you're the healer. Yeah, you're so good. Yeah, and I just speak healing and alignment right now to backs and to collarbones right now in Jesus' name. Come into alignment. Yeah, I just declare the fire of heaven is touching the area right now and healing and burning out anything that's not supposed to be there. And I declare the same thing for nostrils. I declare the same thing over sinusitis, that the fire of God is touching noses right now. Yeah, thank you that you care about the smallest details of our lives. Yeah, and I just feel like some of you are going to start to experience a heat sensation, whether it's in the nose or in your shoulder or in your back. Yeah, that's him touching you and healing you right now. Yeah, so I just declare any sickness, any cold or flu right now, leave right now in Jesus' name. Yeah. I just declare there is no cold or flu season. We walk in divine health. This family walks in divine health. Yeah, we don't have to be sick. Oh. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. I actually heard like respiratory issues. So if you have any issues with your lungs, I'd like to pray for you. And then also, I heard that God is he's healing minds and rerouting thought patterns. Yeah, so I'll pray for you guys. Lord God, I thank you. Thank you for this amazing congregation. Thank you that that they can breathe easy. Yeah, so Lord God, I ask that you please heal any issues with lungs or any, or like esophagus or any breathing issues. I ask that you come and heal them. I ask, I kind of see with those dealing with respiratory issues, I see you kind of breathing in God's breath, like he's breathing out and you're breathing his breath in. Yeah. Holy Spirit's infiltrating your lungs. So, Lord God, I invite you in, into our lungs. and with minds, I thank you, God, that I thank you, God, for aligning our thoughts and aligning our minds with you. Yeah, thank you, God, for sound minds.
So this morning while we were driving here, we were asking the Lord for some words of knowledge and just like what he was doing with you guys. And one of the things that Michael heard was that that the Lord is restoring wombs. And as soon as he said that, I actually saw like in the spirit someone's belly growing, and I heard him say he's restoring the ability to dream. So I'm going to ask you to be brave, and if anyone in here has been feeling like it has just been so hard for them to dream or they're just feeling stuck, I would love for you guys to stand so we can pray for you, because I really, really feel like he's restoring that. Yay. So if you're around them, can you just put your hands on them? Yeah, Jesus, we just thank you. Yeah, Jesus, we just thank you. We thank you, God, that we get to dream in you. Yeah, Lord, we just thank you that you are restoring our ability to dream with you. Yeah, Papa, so I just ask that you would touch those places in our hearts right now that are enabling us from dreaming with you, God. I just ask that you would melt them. You'd melt them with your love. Yeah, you'd melt them with your peace. Yeah, Jesus, we just thank you. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you that this is a house of dreamers.
this is a house of dreamers, and you have really, really, really big dreams for them. Yeah, and we just choose to partner with you, God. We choose to partner with what you're doing right now. Yeah, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus.
So this is a word for someone who's wearing the color yellow. If you're wearing the color yellow at all, please stand up. Yellow socks, yellow hats. So I don't know what this means to you, but I just heard that your season of mourning is over. Yeah. And there's a new joy coming. Yeah.
Yeah, for you, sorry. I'm tag teaming. Whenever I hear someone talk about the season of mourning is over, I always hear Song of Songs 2:10-13, and it's the one where it's like, arise, come, my beautiful darling, come away with me. The winter is past, the spring has come. And I just hear him saying that over you. And, yeah, I even see, like, just this yellow scarf. It's just going over you. Yeah, and I feel like there's a greater level of joy that he's bringing to you in this new season. Yeah, and flowers are going to start blooming. Yeah. Yeah, there's life coming back. There's restoration coming back to you. Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Aren't they awesome? I'm so blessed. I love them. I love, love, love them. So to tag on to some of what they were picking up in the spirit, when David was talking about the lungs, I heard anxiety, and I just felt like the Lord is healing panic attacks, like people who are dealing with panic attacks. Yeah, so I'm just going to listen and ask how he wants to take care of that. Yeah, so if that's you, will you just put your hands on your lungs? Yeah, just release the breath of the Lord. I thank you for your love. I thank you, Father, that you have set me free from fear. Yeah, I just speak love, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. In Jesus' name. Yeah, in Jesus' name. And I, when Michael was praying about something, I don't remember, I saw trauma being broken off of necks. So any kind of trauma that's come from like a car accident or injury, when we get injured, sometimes trauma needs to be broken off from us to get healing. So if that's you, I just want you to put your hand on your, back of your neck. Yeah, we just break off trauma in the name of Jesus Christ. Just snap. Yep. Yeah, we just break it off in Jesus' name. Yeah, I'm just going to keep going. I see it. I see shame on people's backs. Shame is something I'm really familiar with. I've dealt with a lot of shame. Fear and shame go together. So I'm really familiar with the voice of shame. And I actually just had an encounter with the Lord a few months ago where he removed shame from me. It was so significant. But I saw shame on back. So I just feel like the Lord is just wiping that off. So if that's you, I just want you to press in. As we just press in. Whoa, we just press into your love. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Instead of shame, there will be double honor. I just prophesy double honor in Jesus' name. I feel like that there is shame in regards to people's past, like choices that people have made in the past, that the Lord really wants you to let go of it and move on. Sometimes the hardest person for us to forgive is ourselves. So it's time for what the Lord has for you. It's time to forgive and move on. You've got to forgive yourself. Because the Lord has anointed you to set others free. Isn't it crazy that we're called to walk in grace? But if we don't have grace for ourselves, we're only going to be able to release the measure of grace that we allow the Lord to do in our own lives. Whoa. Yeah. Yeah. And the dreams, I actually preached this message here one time. I preached it one other time. But it was out of Hebrews 11. I went through, I went through Hebrews 11. And where it talks about the old man, at one point, I'm trying to remember what part in Hebrews 11. But, my Bible, my chapters are falling out. So I'm like missing, I was looking for Hebrews 11 today and I'm missing half of them. But I don't want to get rid of my Bible because it's so sentimental to me. But anyway, I'll just say what I felt. We talk about in Joel, old men dreaming dreams. So I just feel like there is an anointing here for you to begin to dream, whichever one of you said that. There's something about you dreaming dreams, and not just dreams that we dream at night, but dreams, like dreaming again. It doesn't matter if you're 90 years old. You can dream. The Lord has dreams for you. Does that make sense? Okay. Felt like I was a little wandering. So years ago, back in like, I think it was 1999 or 2000, before some of you were even alive. I'm getting so old, but I'm trying not to speak that over myself. So anyway, back in the old days, I was on a 40-day fast. Not from total food. I have never fasted 40 days from total food. I think I would die if I tried to do that. I can barely do a day. But I was on this fast. It was a Daniel fast. And I discovered two things during this fast that have forever changed my life. And one was the writings of Cordova. That woman, even though I have never met her, has absolutely changed my life and changed the way I live my life. But the other thing I discovered was this verse in Psalms, and it simply says, "Teach me your ways, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Teach me your ways, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Oh, unite my heart to fear your name." I find myself saying that scripture all the time, even when I'm not even aware. You know when you like, you'll be going throughout your day and then you realize you're praying and you're not even aware that you're praying. That's what I do with this verse. I am constantly praying the scripture. Teach me your ways. Teach me your ways. It says in Psalms that Israel knew the acts of God. Moses knew his ways. We are called to know the acts of God. He wants us to know his power. We are going to walk in signs and wonders. I am telling you, the church is getting ready to step into something that we have never seen before. We are stepping into the greater works. I love listening to the old revivalists. I have a hard time sleeping for some reason. It's probably been, I was thinking about this. In Weaverville, I slept really well. But when I moved to the coast, when I moved to Humboldt County, I don't know why, but I've just had a hard time sleeping ever since I moved. So pray for me. If you have great authority in sleep, release that to me. So one thing I do to fall asleep is I listen to preaching, which drives my husband nuts. He can't handle it. So, and then I always feel a little nerdy because I look forward all day to listening to different preachers. It's weird, but I love it. So I'll listen to the old revivalists, William Branham, and even current revivalists, Bill Johnson, Paul Keith Davis, all these people. But I feel like what the Lord is doing is greater than what they even saw in like the Catherine Coleman days and Mariah Woodworth Eder. I feel like we are going to see that type of stuff. Mariah Woodworth Eder, she would go into a trance while she was speaking. And people would immediately get caught up in trances. I feel like the church is getting ready to step into things that we have never, ever seen before. So when I say Israel knew the acts of God, I'm not putting down the acts of God because that's so important. We will know signs and wonders and we will see those. You will see signs and wonders. But we're also called, well, not a but, I'll just say and along with the acts of God, we're called to know his ways, the ways of the Lord. His ways are ways of joy. His ways are ways of peace. I am learning, I feel like I've been on this journey as long as I've been alive, that I can have peace no matter what's happening around me. I came home from work a few years ago, and I had had a really bad day. I had made mistakes. I hate Facebook. Anybody with me? No? Okay. I avoid Facebook at all costs. My husband, on the other hand, loves it, so he keeps me current of what's happening. Facebook, I'm a feeler. I don't know if you guys know the term feeler, but it's prophetically, it's like you just feel. You feel what people are going through. So I'll get on Facebook and be like, oh, I feel terrible. I'm feeling all this stuff. So anyway, I avoid Facebook. But I had, for my job to work it, when I first got hired on at BSSD, they told me to have that job, I needed to have Facebook. And that almost was like I almost was not sure if I could do that. So I'm still learning Facebook and all that kind of stuff. But I had posted something a few years ago. I had totally messed it up. I had given my number. I was only trying to give my number to a small group of students. I gave my number to like the whole school. I was just totally messed up. So I'm trying to figure out what to do. And then because of the stress of me messing up, I had not been who I'm called to be with people. I had like kind of been snappy. And that's I'm not called to be that way. We are called to walk in the kindness of the Lord. The gentleness of the Lord. So anyway, by the time I got home from that terrible day, I felt awful. So I went for a walk, and I just started to say, thank you, Jesus, for that tree. Thank you, Jesus, for the wind. And as I did just those few simple things, I felt my heart I felt it lift. So I pressed in. Thank you, Jesus, for Steve. Thank you for my job, even though I'm screwing it up. Thank you for my job. And as I did that, as I just pressed into thankfulness, this thing happened. I felt like it was crazy. I felt like physically my feet floated up off the ground. And I felt it so strong that I stopped walking and I looked down because I thought I was floating. So obviously I was not floating, but maybe one of these days. But as I felt like my feet floated up and I was looking down, the Lord said to me, Kim, when you walk in thankfulness, you walk on a higher path. We're called to walk on a higher path. I feel like thankfulness is a key to so many different things in our lives. Thankfulness is the first step we take into entering into his presence. You want to cultivate an atmosphere of the presence of God in your life? Be thankful. And it doesn't have to be being thankful for the big things. It can be thankful for the little things. I thank you, God, for my cup of coffee in the morning. I thank you for hot showers, you know? So anyway, we're called to know the ways of the Lord. And part of knowing his ways is seeing as he sees. We're called to see as he sees. 2 years ago, I was driving through Eureka. It was 9:30 at night. I had just taught a prophetic class. I was actually on my way to Walmart to buy some Legos and surprise Josiah. And I ran a red light. I didn't even see the light. I was like looking at the light ahead of this light. So I ran the red light and I hit a car, a man and a woman. And the man was understandably so really mad, really mad, yelling at me, screaming. It's in the dark. I'm by myself. He starts waving his fist. I thought he was going to hit me. And I just kept on apologizing. I'm so sorry. It's my fault. Which I know you're not supposed to. I guess you're not supposed to say that. But I'm it's my fault. I'm so sorry. He was freaking out. I, as he was yelling at me, I'm like, you must have some fear issues. Like, I literally was like, I wish I could pray for you, but there's no way I will offer that right now. So anyway, and I didn't have insurance. We have insurance. I just didn't have the paper. I know. That's always like the shocking statement of that story. What? So by the time I get home, my husband's upset at me because I didn't have my insurance card, which I understand. But I already feel terrible. And this man was screaming at me for probably 15 minutes, and I just feel really awful. So I go, I lay out on the couch, and I fall asleep on the couch. And in my sleep, the Lord says to me, Kim, do not lose your wonder. And when I woke up, it's that was the first thought I had. Don't lose your wonder. And I was like, what the heck is wonder? I had never thought about wonder before. A week and a half after that, we had a friend that went through a traumatic incident. Really big deal. He calls Steve and I, can you pray for me? And as I'm praying for him, I hear, tell him, do not allow your wonder to be stolen. So the Lord was showing me in those two instances that wonder is really important to the Lord. It's not just that wonder is important, it's really important to him that we have wonder. In the Gospels, we read that people are constantly astonished by Jesus. They're astonished at his works. They're astonished at his miracles. They're astonished at what he says. They're in awe. They're awestruck. I'm learning that wonder gives room for us to be in awe. Bobby Connor made a statement years ago that continually challenges me. It still challenges me to this day. And the statement is, the thing that will keep us from moving forward with the Lord is presuming we know all about him. We are called to have wonder in our relationship with the Lord. We are called to have wonder in our relationship with each other. Presumption will blind us. Presumption will keep us from wonder. I have found that a downward spiral for me is when I presume I know what will happen in a circumstance or in a situation. Or even presuming I know what will happen with a person. And as I cultivate presumption towards that person or towards that situation, it actually causes me to feel hopeless. There's so much I want to say. I had lunch with a friend a while ago, and I hadn't seen her for a long time. And as we're talking, we're catching up on each other's lives. And she proceeds to tell me about her life, and it's an awful story. It's a life of abuse, accidents, addiction, rape, trauma, just terrible. Like one thing after another. Just like, and then I got in a car accident, and then I went bankrupt, and then I mean, just like blah 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 blah. I didn't know what to do by the end of our conversation. I was feeling really overwhelmed, and so I just took her, I bought her groceries, and I dropped her off at the trailer she was staying at with these two guys. I got home, and I was like, God, what happened? And he said, Kim, you lost your hope. And as soon as he said that to me, I saw myself sitting at the restaurant with her holding a green balloon. And I knew that he wanted me, and that green balloon represented hope. And what he wanted me to do was to give her my hope. But I let go of my hope because I was looking at it from my perspective. But the truth is, the Lord had never lost hope for her. He never loses hope for us. I love that song that we were singing earlier. Our hope is not in an outcome. Our hope is in the Lord. Whoa. We can have hope in any situation. In Luke 1:37, the angel Gabriel comes to Mary, and he tells her, with God, nothing will be impossible. with God, nothing will be impossible. I think that this is one of the best verses in the Bible about wonder. You want to know what wonder is? Wonder is this. With God, nothing is impossible. We can have wonder in the darkest of situations because with God, nothing's impossible. Nothing's impossible. There's no boundaries. Nothing's impossible with Him. We can look into a dark situation. In fact, God has been doing something so crazy in me. He is rewiring the way I think to the degree, to the point that I actually feel excited when I am meeting with somebody who is really dark. I just met with a man. When did I meet with that? Thursday night. He is a major drug dealer. And what is it when you sell firearm, illegal guns? Runner, something he was using a term. When you run guns, I don't know. A gun runner? I don't know. You guys are like me. I feel like I'm sitting there learning all this, like, constantly. I'm like, wow, I didn't even know that existed. I don't say it, but I think it. Anyway, major drug dealer, gun runner, a lot of pain. And every time I tried to lead him to Jesus, major wall. I kept on hearing 5 years old, 5 years old, 5 years old. So I asked him, did anything happen to you when you were 5 years old? Yeah, that's when my stepdad really started to abuse me. Jesus wants to heal that. I don't think Jesus can heal that. I met with counselors before. Jesus can't heal that. I'm telling you, Jesus can heal you. I actually feel excited about what's going to happen in this man when he gets an understanding of the love of his papa. This man is going to have so much influence in Humboldt County. The Lord looks at this man just like he looks at me. And he is really in love with me. Yeah. Back to presumption. I don't want to live in presumption because what I expect to see, I'm going to see. Even if it's not reality. Do you know that there is a greater reality that's with us right now? That's more real than what you're seeing and hearing in the physical. It's the reality of heaven. There's angels all around us. Do you know that there's a river of living water that is continually surrounding us? We're called to be in that river. Wow. We're called to see as He sees. We're called to hear what He's saying. If we limit ourselves to only this, then we are missing what God has called us to do. We're missing the great prophetic anointing that He's wanting to place on us. The greatest prophetic anointing in the Bible, I believe, is Ezekiel 37. The Lord picked up Ezekiel. He put him in a valley of dry bones and said, prophesy. And Ezekiel began to prophesy life and prophesy breath and prophesy like the sinews back on his flesh. And at the end of his prophesying, they stood an exceedingly great army. That is the prophetic anointing that we as His bride are called to carry and walk in. He wants us to see from here. He wants us to see according to His reality, not ours, not mine. But if I presume I know, then I'm going to miss it. The older I get, the more I realize I don't want to have an opinion about most things. I don't want my opinion to get in the way of what He's saying. Yeah. I asked the Lord a while ago, how do I grow in wonder? He told me, don't lose your wonder, Kim. So I held on to my wonder, but I wasn't building wonder. So, you know, we can always... You know, we're as close to the Lord as we want to be. Nobody else decides that but us. Yeah. So I asked the Lord, how do I grow and wonder? When He gives us a revelation, it's just the beginning. He wants to give us more, but it's up to us to ask. Like, press in, press in, press in. So I asked, how do I grow and wonder? and he showed me a face of somebody I know. And so I understood that I'm going to grow in wonder when I look at people. We can see Jesus in every single person we meet. If we only see Jesus in the people that we like, we're missing something. You know when, have you guys ever prayed that you would grow in love? Yeah. So there's a lot of different ways we can grow in love. The Lord loves to answer that prayer. Sometimes I've grown in love by encounters. He's taken me to this river, and it's his river of love. And he's told me, come back to this river, honey, anytime you need to. But another way he's caused me to grow in love is by putting somebody in my life who is really annoying to me. Who not only is nothing like me, but doesn't like me and likes to poke or accuse or just not be very nice. He likes to put those people in our lives because it will cause us to grow in love. I just went through something painful. Yeah. And I was in the midst of going through it. And on a Sunday morning, the Lord said, Kim, I allowed that to happen. He didn't do it. He didn't say I caused it, but he said I allowed it to happen because I knew it would enlarge your heart to love even more. We're called to love as he loves. So the face of the person he showed me when I asked to grow in wonder, ironically, was the face of somebody who's hurt me a few times. Out of every face he could have showed me, he showed me this face. I think that maybe especially we grow in wonder the most by looking at people we don't want to see. Yeah. Allow him to enlarge you. Heidi Baker said that the cup of the Lord is a cup of suffering and joy. It's not all suffering, and it's not all joy. It's both. As we ask him, let me see as you see. Do you guys pray that prayer? I want to see as you see. As we pray that, we're going to see pain. We're going to see darkness. But we don't have to be afraid of it. We don't have to shut down. We don't have to become jaded. We can actually grow in love. Grow in compassion. I think that's one of the reasons that the Lord keeps talking to me about wonders, is when I'm living in wonder, my heart is open wide. He's wanting to remove every fence we have. Defense and offense. Have I shared with you guys, I don't remember if I shared this when I was here a few years ago, but I had just started my new job at BSSD. That's Bethel Supernatural School of Discipleship. And it was my first week there. And it felt like I was invisible to my leaders. And it was one of those, you know, it just happens where people just forget about somebody. And I was the person that they kept on forgetting about. So they would bring the revival pastors up and I would be like, you know, over there. Nobody knew me. You know, they were all connected and I was the new person. They weren't intentionally trying to hurt me. I was just kind of off on my own. And during worship, I was like, I hate this job. I want to quit. I'm going to quit. I'm going to go back to Weaverville. Cameron and Shannon know my name. But I saw, as I just was like, oh, this is awful. I saw myself in the spirit. I was running, and then all of a sudden I stopped running and I froze. And I heard the Lord say over me. Sometimes he talks to me, and sometimes he talks over me. But he spoke over me, and it was like this game show voice. He said, will she get offended? And I'm like, froze.
And then I start running, and he said, no, look how far she goes. And then I run some more, and it happens again. And he says it again, will she get offended? No, look how far she goes. Wow, my offense will stop me from moving. Our offense will freeze us in place, but we are called to run and go so far. You're called to go further than what you even know. You know what keeps us from offense? Allowing the Lord to continually pour His love into our hearts. The posture of the kingdom, Graham Cook says, the posture of the kingdom is one of receiving. I receive your love, Papa. I receive your love, Papa. I can love you because I was first loved. Yeah. And I'm just going to close with this. I don't know how this fits in with this message, but I've heard it repeatedly when I've thought about speaking to you guys. So we're kind of like doing a shift right now. Last Christmas, a year ago, I was in my living room, and I heard and saw the word epoch. I heard it, and then I saw it written out, E-P-O-C-H. I didn't really know what epoch meant, but I could feel the weight of it. I had never, up to that point, seen and heard something from the Lord simultaneously. So I knew it was significant. So before I even looked up what epoch meant, I just agreed with Holy Spirit. Yes, yes, Holy Spirit, epoch, yes, I pray that in. Let there be an epoch. Really, not knowing at all, seriously, what epoch meant. But I asked him something. I said, is this a season? Are we entering into an epoch season? And he said, no, it's a time. We're entering into an epoch time. So I looked it up. Epoch means the beginning of a new and important era and the beginning of anything. It's a period of time considered in terms of noteworthy and characteristic events, developments, and persons. An example, the development of the steam engine marked an important epoch in the history of industry. Once the steam engine was developed, we never went back to how it was before. We are stepping in the church, the bride of Christ. Not just one church, but the bride of Christ. We are stepping into a new epoch. I feel like one of the most significant epochs in the Bible was in Acts 10, where Peter had that trance. Remember, he went to that trance, and that blanket was lowered down from heaven, and it had like birds and wild things, or beasts and, yeah, reptiles, I think. And it was lowered down, and Peter heard a voice that said, rise, kill, and eat. And Peter was offended. I've never eaten that. I won't eat that. But the Lord was showing him that what was previously believed to be unclean was clean. What God showed Peter and the disciples was going to forever change the church, the face of the church. They realized that and remember, he went to Cornelius' house and the Holy Spirit fell, and he was shocked. They knew then. And my dad, you guys know my dad. He's been here a few times. He's an old, wonderful pastor. And he said that it was actually 10 years from the time Peter got this revelation to the time they began walking in this. But they realized that the gospel, the Holy Spirit, was for everybody. For God so loved the world. Oh, for God so loved the world. For Peter and the disciples to walk in this epoch, this new theme, they had to let go of what they previously believed. Not all of it, but some of it. And I think that's what's happening right now, is there's things that we are holding on to that have been good. Even tools and callings, they've been good. It's what the Lord had for us at that time. But it's time to step into the new, and that's going to require us to let go of the old so we can grab on to the new that the Lord has for us. You have not seen anything yet. And I feel like there is no one that can tell us what it looks like. This is so from heaven that the only way that we're going to be able to walk in this properly is by holding on to the hands of the Lord and letting Him lead us. Our dependence is on Him. Yeah. Okay, can you guys stand? Yeah, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We just, if you want to, we just hold out your hands. I want us to respond as presence. We lean in, Jesus. We lean in to you right now. We lean into your peace. Yeah, we say yes. We say yes to what you are doing in our lives and in our hearts. We say yes to letting go, even though that can be really scary. We're not just letting go, we're grabbing on. We're grabbing on to your hands in a new way as you take us higher and you take us further than what we've ever been before. Yeah, I just prophesy over you that there are no boundaries over you. There are no limitations. The only limitations that will be on you are the ones that you allow to be there. Yeah, we receive all that you have for us. And Father, I ask that you would stir up in your sons and in your daughters. Will you stir up wonder in us? Will you teach us what it looks like to live in wonder? Yeah, I just see our foreheads pressing against the forehead of Jesus. Forehead against you, Jesus. And we give you permission to rewire areas of our thinking that is not lined up with you. We want to think the thoughts that you have toward us. We want to speak the words that you are saying. Here, but we want more. Holy Spirit, come. Whoa, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. We're hungry, Holy Spirit. We're hungry, Holy Spirit. There's more. I can feel it. Let's just press in. If you need to come forward, minister my team. You guys come up. Whoa.
Is love. away. Nothing can take that away. He created that before I was born. He created that long before I was born. Oh, and nothing can take that away from me. Oh, His banner. Oh, His banner flows over all my life, over my family and over my children. And nothing, no, nothing can take that away. Oh, no, nothing can take that away. Oh, grab a hold of that today. Oh, wherever you go, whatever you are doing, that banner can't be taken away. Oh, the never unfailing love of the Lord, it's going on. And on and on and on. Don't you know that that love isn't going to be greater tomorrow than today? Cause His fullness of His love never goes away. Oh, the fullness of His love is never removed. It's as strong from yesterday as it is to the day we move on into eternity. Oh, we thank You for that love. Oh, we thank You for that love. Oh, the love that has made a way. Oh, the love that has made the way.
For Your sons and daughters in Weaverville. Father, I ask that You would encounter them in new ways, that they would have a great understanding of Your love for them. I heard during pre-service prayer, I heard reconciliation, that Mountain Chapel is already known for that, but Mountain Chapel will be known in a greater way for reconciliation. I just thank You, Father, for reconciliation. God, just bless them. Steve and I bless this family. This family has poured so much into our family, and we're so thankful for this family. Will You just bless them, Papa? Will You just fill them up? Will You continue to keep them in a Holy Spirit bubble bath? Beautiful, 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 beautiful name of Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. I just kept hearing, why not today? So I just... I'm not going to take really any time, but kind of give it to the prayer team and have our prayer team come up too and just kind of join with these guys. But I'll just say this one thing, that if you've got it in your mind that like someday that'll change, or someday that'll get better, or someday I'll have breakthrough, or someday, whatever your someday is, I just kept hearing the Lord speak over you, why not today? Why not today? Why not today? And so I just challenge you, why not today? And it's the hope and the faith that, you know, the wonder. I wonder if it could be today, you know, like, well, why not today? And so I just encourage you, if you have that, overcome it and just wonder about today. Why not today? So we're just going to close. Lord, we just thank You. Thank You for the blessing that family is. Thank You for Kim and Steve being here with us. And pray that You just bless them, bless their team, as You blessed us. And just pray a blessing over the rest of this week and your You're so good. We love you, Lord. Amen.